This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. In light of the recent Budget 2020 announcement, 20 million ringgit will be allocated to develop the local esports industry, which is double the amount of last year's budget. This came at a time where the upcoming SEA Games in Manila will be the first time esports will be contested as a medal event in a multi-sport competition. Although it still remains to be seen where exactly the allocation will go to, the Malaysian Youth Council said that this is a great opportunity to create an optimum healthy ecosystem in esports, with a goal of then pushing the Malaysian scene to the forefront of the lucrative global esports industry. One of the big esports events that will be happening next month is M1 World Championship, where the best 16 teams around the globe will battle it out for a $150 prize pool. To get an insight into this tournament and on the challenges the Malaysian esports landscape faces, on the program this week, joining myself and Harish Dio, we have Adriana Muhammad Ghazali, or more popularly known as Choo Choo Gaming. An avid gamer and streamer, she was a medical student pursuing a medical degree in Egypt. Upon returning, she decided she wants to make a career outside of the hospital, convincing people that there is one to be made through esports.
I graduated my medical degree last year. I just came back to Malaysia last year. At first, everybody have to wait for a couple of months up to a year just to wait for the housemanship, the call from the hospital. So while waiting that, I kind of, I wouldn't say get bored, but kind of my passionate thing to do to play games.
Right.
So along the way, I was starting out playing games way back then, actually, since 2008 competitively, which I played a lot of tournaments. But then I started casting or commentating, I think, around 2011. Probably 2011 or 12. And then I stopped in between to finish my medical degree. And then I came back to Malaysia and kind of like, hey, probably we should try it again or something like, oh, I kind of missed this scene. So I tried to go into it again.
Well, was it the case of, you know, you're just sick of your, you know, whole medical, everything is filled up in your brain, or you just want to do something different? What was it?
For me, medical field is something very interesting because there's always something new to discover, because there's so many diseases or organisms always new to us, especially the ones that in the sea, we have no clue what's down there. And one more thing about cancer, there's no cure as well. But then there's also the side of gaming that I want to venture upon. Like, well, I did my studies. I'm like, why not I try to venture out new things? One thing I learned from medical studies is that there's so many patients I met. And there are some very old ones and some are very young ones. Mm. One thing I noticed is that they don't have the time to actually do what they really want to do or they are passionate about. For the old ones, they are... they have been spending their whole life working like they are being forced to. So this is one of the thing that I learned, that if you want to do something, just go for it. So I feel like, oh, why don't I venture out something new? I'm not leaving medical field entirely. I'm still studying, like I already graduated, but I still read all the articles and whatever that's new and recent researches, for example. But at the same time, I'm trying to venture out and try to link between gaming as well as medical study. For example, you can, this is my own experience, that depression and stress might hopefully one day can be a cure by we can get the cure by playing games. Because you feel good when you play games, right? You feel happy about it. And what if we can develop a game that can actually cure this kind of a mental illness? Or for example, that I noticed that some researchers, even if you try it yourself, if you're playing game, then you do your work after, you can feel more energetic. At the same time, you feel that your reactions are way faster as well, and you'd be more alert. So maybe in this term, how about we can find, for example, dementia. We can slow down that process for those who have dementia. Because one thing I also noticed, or I kind of can see between the difference of my mom play games too, okay? So I can see that some moms that don't play game, they kind of have a little bit, I'd say, slow kind of
reactions.
Right. But my mom's like super fast. And she's like always active. We can see active behavior and always positive around her. And those who don't really play games, they're kind of really not into things. Like they easily get bored of some things. So I noticed that even the elderly, their mental is quite active if they play games.
So in a way, it's kind of like therapy through gaming.
Exactly.
Yeah, but speaking about mom, I'm sure you get this quite a lot. How did your parents react when you told them, you know, from medicine to
all
e-sports?
That money?
I said, Mom, can you see this brochure? Like, what is this about? This is MPL Season 4. Look at that prize pool. Hey, that's a lot. I know, that's the game I'm playing. And I'm commentating that tournament. You see how big it is. You can try it out. Yeah, why not? Maybe it can be like, if we win, maybe you can get something out of it. If we don't, then I get some experience out of it, right?
But okay, so your mom was pretty understanding of, you know, when you tried to do it. But lots of other kids who wants to, you know, follow your career path don't have that opportunity, right? And that privilege of, you know, breaking that barrier of getting your parents to understand that this can be a career path. What would you say to, you know, the parents listening to this now who are so totally against their kids going down the same route as you do?
If I can make it, you guys can too. My parents are so Asian. Like, I know this is kind of a racist thing, but it's not really. You know how typical Asians' parents like, right? Study here, study at tuition and extra classes. I take 13 subjects for my SPM. 13. That's extra couple of more subjects. Then I take medical school. I don't neglect my studies. It shows that as long as you get time management right, and you know when to stop, and you know when to study, and you know when to play, everything, I think, will fall into its place. Because imagine, for me, myself, I motivate myself by studying with games. For example, if I finish this chapter, I get to play a couple of games.
Right.
And then when I play, I try my best because I know my time is so limited to play games, so I make sure I win it. So it's like you push yourself to be better every single thing that you do by motivating yourself, not by putting down things that, okay, I want to play games, I don't want to study. No, but you have to do it in the end of the day. So might as well make it something that keeps you going forward.
Okay, so I want to follow up on that point. So Harish, you're a parent, right? If your kid a couple of years from now says that he wants to follow, you know, in the footsteps of Choo Choo, and after hearing all that, you know, games can be used as an incentive or a reward. If you finish a certain task, if it's like Choo-Choo, study a certain chapter, are you more open to that?
No, look, I think the key element here is that a lot of us, me included, we are ignorant about what esports is all about. And when we think about esports, it's always about gaming or being a gamer. But we fail to realize there's a whole ecosystem attached to it, from the administration bit to the finance bit. And I think I've been enlightened with the fact that the conversations of 20-year-olds today will follow through when they become 40 or 50, meaning that these are pockets of conversations that will follow through. Like how I speak to my friends about Pearl Jam and Nirvana and our recollect whatever little we have about Counter-Strike. I hope I said that right. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, perhaps. But isn't that the case, Adriana? Is it the case that many of us out there, the decision makers of today, parents, for example, stakeholders, they aren't well informed about what esports is all about? They think esports is all just about, you know, tapping on the keyboard and failing to understand that there's a whole market out there.
Okay, when it comes to esports, okay, one of the tournaments that I have to mention here, the World Tournament M1, or the World Championship of MLBB, will be in Malaysia this year, starting from 15th to 17th of November. It will be hosted. This is actually the first ever world championship for MLBB, and it's hosted by our own country, Malaysia, in Axiata Arena, in case you guys want to come say hi. Okay, when we talk about big events like this, world tournament, 14 countries, 16 teams, and this link to MPL, the top two from MPL, Malaysian team, will represent Malaysia. While for Singaporean, the top one of the Singaporean team will represent Singapore.
Cool.
And when we talk about big event like this, you must have this kind of a question mark, a big question mark in your head. how do they pull this off? So who is actually organizing this? Where did the money come from? And who are the people that make this happen? How they have that human workforce to start with? So it's not just about playing the game. We have a different feel, a big feel of industry over there. For example, there's the production crew. So the production crew itself have the producers. They also have people who actually in charge of the cameras, and there's also people who are in charge of the softwares and the audio system, the PA system, and there's also those who are actually in charge of the stage, right? And there's also MCs, hosts, or commentators like me, analysts like myself. There's also analysts for the their own player team, and there's managers, there's coaches, there's also marshals to make sure that the game goes smoothly, the observers who actually make the camera on in the game to work, and there's also sponsors like this. Well, obviously there's the players, so it's like so many people got involved in this. So it's not just playing a game anymore. It's the same like entertainment industry where you have everybody involved in it. It's not just okay, if, like for example football. If there's only football players and nobody actually recording it or being broadcasted anywhere,
it won't be as big as it is.
It won't even be a thing.
Yeah, it won't be a thing. You're right. It's not just become entertainment. It's become a whole business, right?
Esports
over there. But it's still very much in its infancy, even though it's been running for, you know, a good decade, 10-15 years.
Mm-hmm.
From your experience, you know, when you were playing games recreationally, can you just describe the moment, the moment when you went, maybe you went to your first esports tournament where you thought, okay, this, I didn't expect this at all from, you know, a gaming tournament.
The thing I've learned from gaming itself, one thing that you learn, even though you're just a student from any school, high school or junior school, is that you get to learn skills by your own. How the biggest skill that I've learned in this is making a judgment call in a critical situation.
Judgment call.
Yep. You make your judgment during a very critical situation. For example, MLBB is a very fast-paced game. It's a mobile game, multi-online battle arena, in case you guys are not sure about that. Mobile games, when it comes to this kind of games, you need everybody to have a really solid teamwork. One miscommunication can just really jumble out the whole game and make you a big loss, especially if it comes to a big prize pool. Okay, so you work under stress. How you handle your stress during that critical moment is one more thing. So it's not just playing a game. It's about how you develop your own personality, how you actually shape yourself to have that composure in whatever the situation is. And having a big teamwork, a chemistry within five people, that's a lot, you know. Five people having the same mindset on the same page without, there are always fights and struggling and like fights in terms of in a good fight because somebody think this kind of action is better than this one. So they have that kind of a
mini debate almost.
Yes, a very beneficial debate.
Sure.
Because they can, at the same time, they also learn how to cope with others, how to tolerate. So it's not just about the game itself. It's about how you develop a person into somebody more responsible, at the same time tolerant, and there's also patience in between, and how to actually cope with the stress and to accept your loss every single game you play tournament is also a big thing. It's not easy, and it's not going to be every game you'll be winning. Somebody has to lose because it's all about getting just that number one. And there's like, for example, even the MPL itself, playoffs, there's only 8 teams that can be, I say, playing for the playoffs. And the other 2 teams will be eliminated. So they have to accept the loss and be better next time. They have to accept their failure and improvise. That's one thing that's so hard to build, but you learn something really valuable every single time you finish a tournament.
You speak about character building, yeah? But for yourself, personally, you were once quoted saying that the struggle is real.
Exactly.
Yeah. Could you please kindly elaborate? What kind of struggle and what were the challenges you faced?
Well, obviously one of it, you have to accept there are so many weaknesses, you have to improvise. You're not the best because there's always somebody better than you. The thing about this kind of games is that every single day, there's always a new talent being born. So you have to cope. You have to adapt fast. And the hardest struggle is that for me, well, I'm a female player. So a female gamer is kind of hard when you have to compete yourself with a male-dominated scene. Mm. Medically speaking, even in this research, also shown that male and female brain is already kind of a big difference for the gray and the white matter. So I have to cope the fact that I need to be on par as the male ones, and I have to be as good as them. I have to be super fast. And that's one of the biggest struggles that I really am still going through right now. Mm. So for me, gaming itself, if you overcome this kind of struggle, you really will be a stronger person, and it's gonna be a long run to actually, it's gonna help you in the long run. Even though you're not working in gaming sector anymore, you'll be surprised at how much it actually shapes you into more of a patient person, mostly.
That was Adriana Mohamed Ghazali, aka Choo Choo, on the program this week to give an insight into esports, an industry much talked about over the last couple of years. Coming up, we continue that conversation right here on Bar None. My name's Dara Ong. Do stay tuned. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name's Dara Ong, and tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the show, we've been exploring the bustling esports scene, where just recently 20 million ringgit was allocated by the government to grow and nurture young talents. On the program this week, we have medical student turned esports streamer Adriana Mohamed Ghazali, aka Choo Choo, who has been giving us an insight into the scene. Esports and gaming in general has always had that stigma of being a male-dominated industry, with Choo Choo, as an example, once denied entry into an esports tournament for being the only female in the team. Since then, esports have grown to be more inclusive, closing the divide between the two genders, but how much has it improved? Adriana joins Harish and I on today's program.
Exponentially, yes, because I've seen a lot of female tournaments has been held this day. One of it is a FSL female C-League tournament, and there's also a variety of other games, not just MLBB too. And then there's also they are encouraging more and more female players to form their own team. I'm still looking for a female team that can compete at the same level as the male ones. Probably I'll be the one day, who knows?
All the best.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'll always be my best. Don't worry about that.
But not just in terms of, you know, the professional scene, but in the community. You stream a lot. Do you still feel that sense of misogyny?
These days, it was...
Because it used to be pretty bad.
It was, back in the day, right? It was. But these days, I think people are accepting it more. They are kind of agree that some female gamers are actually way better than them, especially those who got carried by me.
Well,
yeah, I know some of you guys are listening, and the one that's sitting in front of me was smiling because he'll be supporting, I'll be carrying him. So I think... female gamers right now kind of people already kind of accept it, but I won't say all, but sure. Most of them. There's some minorities that are still like female like that, right? But I don't think so, because I've seen a lot of female players, like those who are actually under Axis, one of the MPL teams that have a whole MPL, probably they're gonna go for a playoff because they already top five for Axis, but their second or sister teams, actually, most of them are female players. And they're playing really, really good. And I'm hoping that one day I can see them in the world tournament as well. But then, in general, for commentating, I'm also doing shoutcasting. There's not much going on. I wish there's more female talent trying to bulk up.
Right.
Yeah, they were a lot back then. But... like you said, back then it wasn't a great scene yet, so they are kind of being denied entrance for females. But I hold on and I made it. I wish they kind of try to give themselves a second chance too. Because if I remember, they were like a handful, not a handful, more than that, probably like 10 female commentators for Malaysia, but they just cannot go with it. I it's hard for me to say in words, but it's not easy back then. But now it's really one. This is the time that you want to shine. This is the time you want buckle up your confidence and just go in and just do whatever commentating or analytical shoutcasting. So most of the females I know in this esports scene, they're more involved in the management as well as the production team. And most of them are the head of production crew. So you can see how good the female are actually in the scene.
Yeah, you're speaking about casting, yeah? Mm-hmm. You're a caster for season 4 of Mobile Legends Bang Bang Professional League, mm-hmm. Malaysia Singapore. Can you please explain why Bang Bang? It sounds so K-pop.
Well, it makes you remember, right? That's why.
But yeah, how would you rate the competing teams compared to those from matured gaming nations like China, you know, Europe and US.
South Korea. Yeah,
South Korea included.
For us Malaysian, we are budding esports industry. But I say at our pace right now, it's kind of very fast and very great growth. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to compare the other countries, they have been exposed to this for like a decade or so, over than that. So for Malaysia, we are really, really new, but we've already grown so much in a very short time. So take it like a couple more years, we probably can be ahead of them. For example, the M1 Championship as well as the MPL hosted by Malaysia, I think that's a big thing. And then one more thing is that the prize pool, even the M1 prize pool is $250,000, so that's a lot. So this just shows that in Malaysia, even though we're budding, but we can cope with it. We can adapt to it when we are moving as fast as they can too. So if you want to compare it that way, probably after a couple of years, we are going that direction. We are not established as our, like for example, the nearest one, Indonesia, they are very established. I've been there and their esport industry is huge, like really big. But then if you look it back, they're already there like for what, more than 10 years? Like Philippines, for example, is the same thing.
So it's about longevity, is how long you've been doing it.
Because we're lack of talent. That's the thing, because everybody was thinking like esports is not a viable career or something like that. So I don't think that's actually a thing anymore. If you think about this, graphic designer is one of the most wanted job anywhere, right? Including esports, because we really like video editing. There's so much tech stuff and digital stuff involving. So it's not really something that you said like it's not viable. And one of the things is, the players, the pro players, for example, they are like the trendsetter. If you've seen it, like one of the most favorite Malaysian favorite team in PL would be Bosco, Shopee Bosco. Even Shopee kind of endorsed them. So you get what I'm trying to say, right? Mm. So whatever they wear, people like trying to follow them. Oh, this guy's wearing it. It looks good on them. And they're gamers. They don't really have like super buff physique or anything like that. But still, they look good in it. So they're trying to buy it. The same goes for other kind of brands.
So given the fact you mentioned earlier that Indonesia is more matured, even the Philippines as well to a certain extent, I think it's only logical for eGames to debut at the SEA Games this Manila.
Exactly.
Manila, yeah.
There were a lot of criticism earlier about eSports being part of the SEA Games. But given what you've just said, and what would you tell these critics?
Chess is also a sport, right?
So is darts.
Exactly. That's the same thing, actually. The thing is, those kind of sports are more relaxed, more focused, based on focus, and you throw one thing for darts and chess. You have to decide things. That's exactly what esports is about. It's like a chess game, but in a larger scale. At the same time, it's more fast-paced. You have to decide every single thing in less than 1 second. And one mistake will ruin everything, literally. So if you want to put, like, it's not logical for it to put sports, it's electronic sports. You have to work out too to have a better brain, good oxygenation. It's the same like other athletes. You have to take care of your nutrient, you have to take care of your physique, you have to take care of your, especially your brain, how you want to be fresh every day. So you have to have enough sleep. is actually, I think, more harder than I wouldn't try to compare it, but esports athlete is actually having a harder time because they have to train more. For example, I've known this team, like Todak, for example, they have been training 6 hours every single day. That's a minimum. Must. It's a must. Some of them even said, oh, I really want to get out sometimes and have a time, like just go to the cinema. But the times that they have left, yes, they do sometimes do some leisure things, going out and stuff. But when they come back, every single day, they have to analyze their own gameplay. Like football, it's the same. You have to analyze everything that you want to do the next step. You have to compare your gameplay and the opponent's gameplay, how you're going to outplay them. Mm. Because in terms of skill, every single one of them is actually on par. Mm. And the only thing that can decide whether you're a winner or the one that lost that game, it's either you make the mistake, miscommunication, or you're just being outplayed.
I think for a lot of people, there's still a very fine line between gaming and training. Like you said just now, 6 hours a day. A lot of people, a lot of kids these days, they game more than 6 hours these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the separation between gaming and training for you?
If you play for something fun, that's gaming. When you play for a bigger thing, like prize pool, you have something, you have aimed something big, then that's training. It means it's not lili-lala, happy-happy playing anymore.
Right.
It's about you putting your whole team together, discuss with your coach, with your manager. It's not just five people playing, the players playing games and doing nothing about it. They have to discuss about their next tactical move. Okay, this team, what are their weaknesses? Like, what are their weaknesses? And these teams, what are their strengths? How we are weaker against this team. We're strong against this team. So how are we going to overcome that? How can we fight them? How can we not lose? How can we win this game?
Mm.
Because it's training is something you put everything into. Training is about, I wouldn't say 100% winning, but winning is one thing. But really to improvise yourself better every single day. While gaming, for example, it's the same for sports. For example, if you play badminton or football, you just play for fun. That's kind of a gaming.
Sure.
But when you play for something like, I have to be in this team, I have to play for the playoff, I have to make it out for regular seasons. If I don't, then I'm bumped or something like that, right? So the same goes like for gaming. So training is not easy. It's never easy. Nothing is easy. In fact, it's actually one of the hardest things to win because you'll never know what the other team always have something to bring new to the table.
Mm. So, you know, when these teams are training, do you think that it could go either way, right? It either could take the fun out of the game or be even more fun, you know, for some people who likes to, you know, analyze.
For me, gaming itself is already fun. Training is more fun because
okay.
Why? I prefer the competitive scene because I myself also going for semi-pro player. And for me, the fun part about being a pro player is it's challenging. If you manage to win a bigger team, it's like a big
achievement
that you unlocked yourself. Like, hey, I'm not so bad.
Right.
I'm pretty good. That's one of the satisfaction that I feel. One more thing is that you always brainstorm with your team. That kind of bonding time with them more, that friendship going, feels like family. And that's what really makes me feel like a competitive scene is really a fun thing to do because imagine these five people are like, you don't even know them back then, but now they're like your brothers. Well, for me, brothers and sisters.
Mm.
So it's like you learn about their hardships as well. You learn about their background. You kind of sometimes feel grateful about your life because you complain so much, but there are so many people actually having a harder life than you do. And some of them, like, for example, way back then when I play other games, I have European teams playing with me. Some of them actually teach me how to code, mm-hmm. doing coding with software and stuff.
Coding.
Like that. Exactly. I never know back then, but then I learn a lot of new stuff. Like, they share some of the players that I've met, like 40 years old, real old people, some are very young, they always have new ideas. They always teach you new stuff. It's like you get to know people more. Some of us kind of prefer real life experience. It's not bad. It's also a good thing, but we can reach out further when we go like online gaming. Mm. And the thing is, there's always something to talk about, even though we have different kind of backgrounds. There's always this game in common. So there's always something to talk about every single time. You don't feel that awkward silence sometimes you have with your friends in real life, right? So the ones that you have in an online game, there's always something to talk about. Even though like he's 40 years old, I'm like, what, probably 15 back then. And he talks about his engineering stuff. Wow, that's fun. I never know about engineering until he told me.
Right.
So there's always...
it's a good way to make friends.
Yes, and there's always something that you get to learn.
Speaking about being 40, which is not old, by the way. What's your plan after this? I mean, how long do you see yourself in esports? How long do you see yourself as a caster?
As long as it takes.
Do you think that you would... Given the fact that we've got a lot of new talents coming up almost daily,
mm-hmm.
In a very competitive environment, do you think that it's a business where one can actually survive for 20 years, 30 years?
There's not only one game in the world, but one of the best is MOBB because their game style is they're still developing. So there's always new heroes. There's always new tournaments. There's always more and more coming up soon. And you're talking about after... What if I'm done? Some of people like putting up the age line here, like, oh, if you're 30 plus, probably you can't even play the game anymore because of reaction time is really slow. But there are so many places actually older than 30 years old still able to play the game as much as the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they have is experience. When you talk about experience, they're the one who know what to make during that critical situation, the judgment call. They know when to make it. They have like the instinct to know how the... Okay, for example, MLBB, the game, they have rotation, who going where, for example. Some of the players that are really new, they don't get the gist of it. But this kind of a veteran players, they know already the mindset of the opponents. That's one thing. So that even though they stop playing because they're tired of competitive gaming, they can go for coaching. They can go for management. They can go for the manager itself. And mostly, I think Malaysia kind of like in terms of coach and analyst. And these two can combine or separate for one person or two. Because coach itself sometimes help with the reading of the heroes. For example, what we call it draft, mm-hmm. means where you pick what hero during what time, which team you want to fight. Well, analyst will be doing like, okay, if you pick this hero, he will use this hero, but then you have to pick this one. So this one counter and this one kind of do the same thing kind of going on. And what items, for example, each item, if you can't counter it with a hero, you counter it with an item. If you can't counter it with an item, you counter it with a spell, which in the game. So it's like so many breakdowns of the technicality in the game itself. So it cannot be a one-person job. You need more than one brain to think everything because there's so many things in the game going on. For example, how many minutes that creep or minions spawn, the soldiers, the small soldiers marching in the game, how many per minions and how much you lost when you died.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respawn back in the base. It costs like what? One wave costs you like one level and probably like almost 200 gold. So that in terms of starting point, when you make the mistake early in the game, for example, it will cost you the whole game.
Right.
So that's why we need analytic people or coach. Even though you're aging, is your experience actually very, very expensive. It's even priceless, I say, because there's nobody have that kind of insight like mm-hmm. these veterans do.
So even though your actions per minute slow down, eventually with age, you still can contribute by with your brain,
knowledge. Right? Yeah, because nobody have that as much.
Tell us a little bit, you know, what's coming up for yourself. You know, the end of the year towards the end of the year, what's going to happen in 2019 as well.
Okay, there's a lot actually. But one of the biggest one will be MPL Season 4 playoff, 19th to 20th of October, at KL Life Center, KF Life Center. It's a free, you don't have to register or just walking. Just walk in and you just sit there and say hi to me and just watch the game. And there's a lot of activities going on as well that day. And one more is M1. M1 is I think it's called M1 because it's Mobile Legends Bang Bang World Championship the first one. So right. they just shortened it into one. That's a mouthful, right? So that's the first ever championship for MLBB itself.
So and it's an international tournament that's happening, happening here.
Exactly. It's actually hosted by Malaysia in Axiata Arena starting from 15th to 17th of November.
Cool.
In case you guys want a code, I have M1MPLSG25. Just type in that code for a 25% discount for
the
ticket. And there's goodie bag for you guys if you guys buy the ticket and stuff. The top two Malaysian team will represent Malaysia. For Singapore will top one. And the prize pool for MPL Season 4 will be $100,000. While for
ringgit or US dollars?
Dollars.
We're talking about dollars now. What do you mean, ringgit?
Just to clarify.
$250,000 for the M1 World Championship. That's like what? Almost 1 million ringgit Malaysia, right? For the prize pool. So that's a lot.
That was Adriana Muhammad Ghazali, a.k.a. Choo Choo, giving us an insight into the world of esports. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's program. Do remember that if you'd like to check out the interview again, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my/banan. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our latest app for free via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Dara Ong. Thanks for listening to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week for more of the same right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.